Hi, I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and welcome to Food Talk and OURadio.org, where celebrity chefs and food personalities give their special cooking tips. And what are you planning for dinner tonight? I have a special quick and easy dinner that will please the family, and it won't break your calorie or your time bank. Well, Purim is just around the corner. So how about planning an easy and fun Purim party? I have just the person to help us. She's celebrity chef and a personal friend, Michelle Bernstein. And she's the owner of the award-winning restaurant, Mishi's, in Miami. And she now has a new restaurant called Signora Martinez. Her book is Cuisine a Latina. Chef Michelle, welcome to Food Talk.
Thanks for having me, Linda.
It's our pleasure. It's my pleasure to have you here. Chef Michelle, what a varied, varied background you have. In fact, you hosted the TV Food Network show Melting Pot, and your mother's Argentinian. You were brought up here in America. Your recipes have Latin, Caribbean, and Asian touches. So do these flavors all filter into your style of cooking?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think in one dish, of course, but they definitely come into my menus, and you'll find varied recipes all throughout the menu. And lots of flavor, lots and lots of flavor.
Well, that is one of your wonderful attributes, is that your food has so much wonderful flavor. Well, now, Michelle, let's talk about Purim. How did you celebrate it in your home?
Well, because, you know, obviously it's all about the sweets. And my mother makes beautiful, some of the best mandelbrot you'll ever have. That was actually instead of the hamantaschen. And so she would actually make this mandelbrot that was stuffed with cognac, chocolate, and oranges. That was spectacular.
Mandelbrot stuff? How do you stuff mandelbrot?
Trust me, she did it. She rolled it up in there.
Wow.
And it kind of looked like mandelbrot biscotti meets the most lavish richness on the inside. And so she'd stuff it with chunks of chocolate, like I said, and it was just delicious. But because we were more of a savory family, what she would do is she would roast chicken with apples, olive oil, honey, and herbs and onions. And so that sweetness would be our celebration inside of the chicken.
So now you're having, well, I'm glad we started with the desserts. That's almost my favorite. But so she had the mandelbrot, so she didn't make hamantaschen.
She didn't make hamantaschen.
Okay. And then she stuffed the inside of the chicken with apples and
she would toss the apples and onions with honey and thyme.
Oh, I knew there was more to this recipe.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And then always roast garlic, you know, rubbed upon the bird. And then she would toss the chicken in whatever leftover honey and olive oil would be on the side that she had used for the apples. Mm. And so all these flavors came together in this delicious, sweet, salty, roasty, you know, chicken. And it was wonderful. And it was sort of her way of giving us the celebration with what we really wanted, which was her savory cooking, which is what I still remember and still crave.
But would this be Argentinian flavor or just her own personal?
I don't know, just her own shtick. You know, she was so incredible, and she still is. I also remember one year when I started to learn how to cook, I actually made for her my sort of form of bastilla, which is the Moroccan squab. Normally I use chicken instead, and I roast the chicken with a lot of juices, and then I picked all the meat, and I tossed that in almonds and sautéed shallots and some garlic and a lot of cinnamon and sugar and cumin, and it was wonderful. And then I wrapped that up in a dough that I made with olive oil, and it was sort of my form of the Moroccan bastilla, but obviously made for Purim. So that was my way of giving back to my mother, and it was my chicken.
You are making my mouth drool. I can barely talk. It sounds so good. I'm not sure what this Moroccan dish is that you're talking about.
Oh, it's fabulous. Bastilla is well known in Morocco, and what they do is they roast squab, and then they pull all the meat off, and then they saute it with all kinds of onions and spices and herbs and a lot of cilantro, a lot of parsley. It's wonderful, and I learned it in Morocco. I was with a Moroccan Jewish family once, staying with them, learning how to cook Moroccan food, and they taught me the bastilla, and so I brought the traditions home, but of course I do them in our own way. We are Ashkenazi, I learned it from Sephardics. And, you know, I believe that you should borrow flavors from everywhere and from everyone, which I do. And then I bring it home to the way my mother does things.
Exactly how we all should be cooking. Sounds fabulous. So let's talk about, I've had several people write to me and ask me about, you know, they're going to have a lot of people in for Purim. And I always feel that when you have a lot of people in, a grazing party is really the kind of
absolutely.
Thing. Because people can move around, they can taste all the different foods. So can you give us some simpler hints on how to what to do?
You know, when you're setting up a party, I always believe that the host of the party or hostess of the party should be with their party. I mean, the people come to be with her or he, she or he or her or him. So I always think that you should have things really ready. We call it mise en place. Everything is in its place and everything organized. And you should always have at least, you know, 2 to 3 savory items, at least 2 sweet items. And if something has to be cooked at the last minute and kept fresh, let's say maybe it's fried, like a potato pancake, or if something has to be roasted at the last minute, everything to that point should be totally ready so that whenever, you know, your guests are about to get there, throw whatever you have to in the oven, have everything in its place so that all you have to do is adorn the plate, put it out on the table, and have fun yourself.
And then people can serve themselves.
Absolutely.
So you don't have to worry about
serving. You don't have
serving.
To serve. Yeah, have lots of spoons around. Have a lot of extra plates around. Lots of napkins because goodness knows you'll need them.
Especially with Purim, there'll be a lot of children running around.
A lot of kids, a lot of sweets. But have different kinds of stuff. And, you know, you can have everything from really delicious cookies to maybe something they could sort of build themselves, you know. If you're eating dairy that day, then you can, you know, do like their own Sunday table, or they can do their own kind of mixed cookies with toppings and have a little chocolate syrup for their.
I can imagine,
you know,
the delight of the children and the mess they're going to make.
Yeah, but you know what? That's what it's all about, and it's for the kids. So, you know, you can maybe have sprinkles that they can put on top of the chocolate that's on top of the cookie, or, you know, just. I always think that if people take part in the food that they're eating, somehow, in some way, shape, or another, they enjoy it more. They get into it more, and especially with kids.
Especially with kids. When people tell me that my child won't eat this, that, the other thing, I said, why don't you have them help them, help you
right.
do the cooking?
Oh,
and,
sure.
And
absolutely.
Get them involved.
Get them in there.
And it becomes their own. And actually, you don't have to make everything. You can buy some
of
the hors d'oeuvres in and put that out and make life easy for yourself.
You know what I do? I buy rotisserie chicken so often. I get a really good rotisserie done chicken. And then I bring it home and I, you know, take the skin off and I pull the meat. And I make that into a salad, you know, with greens and balsamic vinaigrette and other little vegetables in there. You know, little ways, even though I'm a chef and I make all these things and I can make anything and I make them in my sleep, sometimes I need help. So, you know what? Other people know how to roast a bird better than I do, I figure, a lot of times.
So they have more time. We're all busy no matter
what. Of course they do. Some people just roast birds for a living.
Right.
So anyway, I always say, you know, get help. If you know and trust someone that's making something better or just as well, I should say, as you do, then buy it and get it and then put your little touch on it and it will be yours.
Right, and I think especially when you're having a Purim or any other kind
Anything.
Of party, if you're calm and having a good time, then everybody else will
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
Well, now let's go to dinner in minutes time. So we'll give us another idea of what we can have for your Purim party or actually any time of the week. How about some easy tuna kebabs? You can prepare them, as you said, all in advance, have it ready, and then just a few minutes on the stovetop grill or on a broiler, and it's simple and easy. So for this, we have juicy cubes of tuna, and they have a crunchy coating with chopped walnuts on them. And then, you know, what I do is I place the tuna on one skewer, and then on another skewer, I put big, thick rounds of zucchini and some nice, ripe grape tomatoes. And I put them on separate skewers because they cook at different times, so you can take them off. Now, I don't know, this probably has never happened to you, Michelle. However, it's happened to me that, you know, the skewers look done, and you take everything off, you take them off the skewer, and it's not really cooked through.
Right.
So this is my tip, is that you leave at least 1/4 inch of space between each piece on the skewer, and then the heat can get to the sides and the top and bottom, and so then it can all cook through.
Do you soak your skewers?
If it's wooden, yes. But you know something. This is cooked so quickly.
Right, that you don't even need
that. Sometimes you don't need that. That's smart. The other thing is sometimes when you turn a kebab over, you know how the meat turns around in circles?
Yeah.
It's so annoying. And I happen to find metal skewers that have two prongs. Mm. So it keeps the food flat. Or sometimes what I'll do is I'll take two skewers together and I'll
double
it. Yeah. And then that can flip it easier.
Because that really bothers me when things kind of float around like that.
It's
really annoying.
Well, now you're listening to a very famous chef telling she has trouble too. So that's nice. Anyway, a side dish with this. We could have some brown rice. And while it's cooking, I add some chopped green peppers and onions to the rice. Cook that all together. And, you know, I don't bother measuring water when I'm cooking the rice. I have a huge pot. I do it the French way. I do it like pasta. Huge pot of water. Let the rice roll in the water 30 to 40 minutes. When it's done, drain it, dress it with some olive oil, salt, and pepper. And that's a real simple, easy recipe for you. And if you want that full recipe, it's on this website at ou.org. Now, Michelle, tell me something. I understand you're supposed to be drinking a lot of wine for Purim.
Yes.
So what are we going to drink?
I'll tell you something. I have a fun idea, and you can make one version for the kids and one for the adults, sangria. Now, sangria is delicious. You can do clerico, which is the white sangria, or you can do the red sangria. And you can put in whatever season it might be. You can put in the fruits from that season. And remember the citrus, because sangria loves citrus. So orange juice, orange rind. Chop up an orange, keep the whole thing, keep the skin on it, keep the meat in there, and throw the whole thing into that red or white wine. You don't have to pay too much for a red or white wine either, which is great. You could save a little money there. Grapes, even summer fruit for the white ones, strawberries, blackberries,
so just any white wine or any red wine, and
absolutely.
Put fruit into it.
And put fruit into it, and then finish it with a little hint of your favorite lemon-lime soda.
Okay, and so for the children, you just do the lemon lime soda with the...
You can do the fruit with the lemon lime soda. You can add a little bit of pomegranate juice to it for flavor. You can add a little grape juice to it for flavor.
Oh, and that would make it red-looking. The
children
would love it.
Absolutely, yeah, and they think that they're, you know, I used to love the manischewitz. I used to throw fruit into the manischewitz, and, you know, Mom would always give me a little sip of that, but she would always fill it with lots of soda so that it wouldn't affect me, or the grape juice, or... whatever it be. But yeah, make the kids feel like they're a part of whatever the adults are having.
Okay. And just before we leave, just tell me for a minute about the Jewish community in Argentina. There's quite a large one there.
There is a large one, and it's a very tight-knit group of people, and everyone knows each other, and they all go to synagogue together, and they all eat together, which I think is the most important part of the tradition, is keeping it together. And you know what they eat is a lot of Italian style cooking.
Well, there's so many Italians there.
Huge amount of Italians. So you know, one night you might find everything from Wiener Schnitzel to hand pressed pastas to the most glorious you know, true Jewish food. But everything is always done in this odd combination of Italian and Latin American flavors.
With Jewish-style cooking added to it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, there are old Jewish dishes that my mother made that I didn't realize were the same ones that I was having at my American friend's home. So everything is done differently, and it's pretty interesting, and it gives a nice twist.
It is, and if anybody's interested in going to Buenos Aires, I was just there recently, and it's the one place where the dollar is strong, so it's a good place to go from that reason.
It's a great place to go shopping, too, by the way.
Yes, unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, it's been fun talking with you, Chef Michelle Bernstein.
Thank you for having me so much. You're so wonderful, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Her restaurants are Mishi and Señora Martinez. They're located in Miami. Her latest book is Cuisine a Latina. It's a delightful read and filled with great recipes. Now you can see my full dinner in minutes recipe right here on this website. And please contact me with your questions and comments. I'd love to hear from you. You can reach me at dinnerinminutes@ou.org. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me next time for more food talk.